We are on page 300. We're going to resume our study at point 5, which has a number of sub-points, and will take us into document number 31. When we left off, we were exhausting a passage in Romans, which is Romans 8. We began in verse 19, I believe. And here are some concepts that follow that. Oh, by the way, we always want to start a Bible class by doing rebound. Here's why. I know that we've just had prayer meeting. And years ago, someone asked why we didn't have rebound before the prayer meeting. And I said, because I assume that a congregation is advanced in theology as this one takes care of rebound on a consistent basis. The reason we want to have rebound before every Bible class is that it is recorded, and therefore people will access these studies through electronic contrivances. And on the very beginning of those recordings, there needs to be a moment for a confession alone to God alone. So we need to do that duty now. You may use it if necessary, and then we will resume our study. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to continue our pursuit of truth. It is our prayer that the Holy Spirit will guide us as we provide the positive volition. We lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Introductory point here is, from these definitions, several propositions can be put forward in answer to the question, what form does this corruption and decay take? Point one, since our Lord is perfect, he is not the creator of anything imperfect, anything that is corruptible, anything that is decadent. Therefore, two, we conclude that the original creation, as well as the restored earth following the Luciferian rebellion, was perfect, incorrupt, and free of decay. Three, the fact that our original parents had perfect life and perfect bodies indicates that the Edenic system was designed to maintain its perfect environment indefinitely. Here's the issue here with our original parents. Our original parents were perfect, but they did not have eternal life. They had perfect life. Why is that? Because there had to be a volitional challenge to maintain that perfection. And therefore, there were challenges that could emerge from their own viewpoints as they existed in the perfect environment of Eden. A perfect environment in no way guarantees the perfection of those who function in it, because they have free will. And if you have free will, you are vulnerable to making a poor decision at some point. Lucifer was allowed to enter into the perfect environment of Eden in order to offer a verbal challenge to that woman. And of course, you know the structure of that in Genesis chapter 3. And she bought the lie, she ate the fruit, offered it to Adam, and he ate it as well. Then we had the fall. Excuse me. Now, if you have the fall, it means that here we are in a stage two concept of what we take a look at as the court decree. In other words, the appeal of Lucifer. He appealed the guilty verdict, and he therefore was going to be banned permanently. He was going to be sent to the lake of fire. The lake of fire was created for him and his fallen angels as a place of incarceration. What is interesting to us, and what you will find questionable over at the Ark Encounter, is this. We have the beginning in perfection. We have the fall through a volitional decision to violate the lone commandment of Eden. And then we have the reason for being there is the fact that Lucifer violated these very same volitional surroundings in perfection of the eternal state. And so he was tried, he was found guilty, but obviously he appealed the verdict. How do we know that? Well, there are certain things that tell us this, but what is very absolutely obvious is this, that he was found guilty in the environment of eternity past. He was found guilty of violating these things. As a result of that, he was sentenced to the lake of fire, which was created for him and his angels. The Lord makes that point. Therefore, why is it that the verdict and the sentence was announced in eternity past, but it is not carried out until eternity future? And what, therefore, happens in between? What happens in between is the playing out of the angelic conflict, because he appealed the verdict. And if he appealed the verdict, then therefore there's going to be a court case. The court case is carried out between the beginning of the creation of the universe and the destruction of the universe. In other words, eternity past, eternity future, and what's in the middle. Why is it that he's sentenced to the lake of fire, but nothing, no incarcerations occur until after human history is over? Why is that? Because he obviously appealed the verdict. And so we are involved in resolving the appeal. We become witnesses for the prosecution. Why are we so important? Because we have free will, but we do not have the intelligence of God. We don't have the intelligence of the angelic community. We are lower on the totem pole than the others. But if we can use our free will to follow the leadership and the guidance of the Word of God, then it demonstrates in the courtroom that we, with less capabilities, can still use our free will to make a good decision from a position of strength. And therefore, we have the angelic conflict being played out in what we call the time between the creation and the destruction. And so when we come into concepts like this and we see the fall in Eden, that put things into a different perspective, because they were perfect. The question arises, how long did that perfection exist? Was it like over the weekend? Did it take a couple of weeks? Was it a year? Was it 500 years? We don't know. The people over at Ark Encounter don't know either. We don't know how long it was before the creation of our original parents and their fall. We have no idea. It could have been 45 minutes. It could have been 5 years or whatever. So they're going to tell you everything happens in 6 days. That's not it. A lot happened before Adam and Esau showed up on the scene. And you can go to Scripture and see this. There is. Let me find a place to draw this. The question arises, why are we here? The question arises, since we are here, what is going on? Why did A happen, the fall in the garden? Why did the violation of Lucifer in eternity past result in a guilty verdict? Why is it that in eternity past, the lake of fire was created as a place of incarceration? Why those things? Yet, we find out that human history intervenes, and out here is when the incarceration occurs. That is Revelation chapter 20. Anyone? Well, the question is, well, you don't have a passage that tells you this. We can't go to a verse and says, the reason that this happened is thus and so. That is why you study doctrine. If you go into the Scriptures and study the doctrines that are associated with the question, you have to arrive at a conclusion at some point. And the conclusion is this. Obviously, on a legal environment, which is what we have, a trial was held, evidence was presented, a guilty verdict is determined by the Supreme Court of Heaven, and a sentence was announced, and a place for incarceration was actually accomplished. Question mark. What's going on in between? And if you know anything about law, which I do not, but I do have a law dictionary, and I am able to go to the law dictionary, and I'm able to look up terms. And the terms inform me about appeal, which you all know. You've studied the appeal from all those books we've got over there. But the point is, there is a legal status that is in the law that says if you are found guilty, you can appeal that decision. And therefore, suddenly we have an entirely different group of people intervening into the contest, beginning with Adam and Esau. And then they have children. And then the whole thing goes on, and here we are. What is this, the 21st century? By the way, this is not the end. You need to understand, we do not enter a new decade this year. The numbering system starts with one. So the decade begins in 2021, and we'll have 10 years of that. See, when you get 10, when you have 10, you have a 1 and a 0. And therefore, 1 to 10 is 10, not 1 to 9 is 10. I know enough math to do that. Okay, I feel better now. We'll go on. Point 4, the tree of life was available to maintain their physical perfection for as long as they remained in status quo perfection in their spiritual lives. They have perfect bodies. They had perfect life. They don't have a resurrection body because resurrection body indicates eternal state function forever. There is a question in the garden as to whether they will maintain that perfection because of what? Volition. Their volition is free to make any decision they want. And therefore, there is a chance that they will use their volition negatively to make a wrong decision, thus creating the first personal sin. And therefore, everything is open for discussion. What is Lucifer going to do? How is he managing this? What decisions is he going to make about this? What is she going to do? And then what is he going to do? And what is the decision going to be made after that? All these questions have to be answered, and they are answered systematically in the first several chapters of Genesis. So by the same token, as long as spiritual perfection was maintained by Adam and Esau, natural perfection was maintained in the universe. You get that? Listen, Genesis 1:1, absolute perfection, yakto second. Everything up and running, perfection. Then we have the Luciferian fall. What happened there? The universe is frozen in place. 469 degrees Fahrenheit. Absolute frozen. Sort of like outside during winter here. And then we have the section in verse 2 where a decision is made to allow the appeal to go forward. That's Genesis chapter 1, verse 2b, the thawing out. The universe, therefore, is turned loose back to its function of circling around things. But it is not. See, what you have is perfection right here. Perfection is verse 3. And that's where over in Kentucky, they're saying the next 6 days take care of all of this. Everything happens within 6 days. And we've studied this long enough for you to know a lot of stuff went on before Genesis chapter 3 began. Lots of stuff. Time passes. Things occur. And it's important to see that. So if you've been over yonder, you followed me along on this retrospective, then you saw in real life how they sold things over there. I thought they did a great job myself. Several of you have been there. Some of you plan to go and so on. But having gone there, you see that they thought it through. They did a great job of making the presentation. It's just that their time factor was off. And the time factor, therefore, complete. How do you resolve the angelic conflict if everything started in Genesis 1:2? I don't get it. However, as soon as spiritual perfection was lost due to original sin, it resulted in the fall of our original parents as well as the fall of the environment. And that occurred in Genesis chapter 3. Now we have disorder. And the disorder continues until the end of the, let's call it baptisms of fire. And that leads us into the millennial kingdom. So Adam and Esau entered into the status quo of spiritual death manifest by the corruption of the sin nature. and the decay associated with the aging process of the body, and that leads to physical death. If they had not made the wrong decisions, Adam and Esau, would they still be alive today? They would be. They had perfect bodies, perfect environment, perfect life. But the volitional factor had to be there. So they didn't have eternal life. By the way, I won't go back to the chart, but you note Adam died. They didn't have eternal life. They had perfect life. Then when they sinned, then there was a dying process. Simultaneously, the perfect environment entered into the status quo of entropy, manifested by its involuntary slavery to corruption and involvement in ever-increasing disorder and decay. Now, this happens when you're born. The day you're born is the day you begin dying. You begin to die the day you're born. Nobody gets out of this alive except for the rapture. And if that is true, then there's something that needs to go on between the day you're born and the day you die in order for you to have a happy ending. And you are inserted into a fallen environment that is designed, because of the Luciferian interference, it is designed to keep you from making the right decision regarding your eternal future. And it's just simply, there's the volition again. The world is going to try to convince you that there are no absolutes, and the absence of absolutes means there's really nothing to restrain you from doing whatever you want to do. And that is the environment that is emerging in Client Nation America, when people are removing themselves from the study of the Word of God and its absolutes that do not vary. And therefore, you divorce yourself from absolutes and go to personal opinion. Then personal opinions ultimately are going to metastasize into chaos. And that's where we're headed in Client Nation America. So simultaneously, the perfect environment entered into the status quo of entropy, manifested by its involuntary slavery to corruption and involvement in ever-increasing disorder and decay. Romans 8:21 instructs us that the universe is in pas Delias tais phatheros, the slavery of corruption and decay. Now, about that baby again. It born into slavery of corruption and decay. We have a prep school back there with little babies, a little bit older, and then they get up here around 12 or so, where they're practicing absolute chaos. 12 years old at most. Why are they that way? Why are the little darlings, you know, time bombs? They're time bombs because they have a sin nature. They came here knowing nothing. The things that they learn can make the chaos absolutely overwhelming. And we've got them running around the country now wanting to run for president. Their minds are destroyed by chaos from the dark side, and they think that they're smart enough to run a country. Sort of funny. But they say it with straight faces. They were a child at one time. All of these people were born. And their mothers loved them. Their fathers loved them. And they went along and they went along. Wait. There may not have been a father. What happened to him? But nevertheless, let's pretend they all had a father. And they kept eating and kept breathing. And then they got up to where at age 25 they could run for Congress. And at age 35, they can run for president. And look at the gaggle of who wants to run the country. You say, well, aren't they free to do this? Well, yeah, you're free to do it. Do you want them to run the country? One of them may. Now, this is not, I'm not going political on you here. I'm just trying to get you to see that in a client nation, the loss of thought allows certain individuals who have no thought to decide they do have the thought, and their thought is wise enough to run the country. That's what I'm trying to say. And where did that begin? When they were born. Because they knew nothing when they were born. And if you don't instruct people along the way up to, say, age 20 or 21, if nothing is communicated to these people, these dear little lovely children, if nothing's communicated to them, then chaos will be their inventory for ideas. It's just, that's just a good example. There are other people that you work with, people in your family, places you go, concepts and ideas you run into. The chaos is everywhere. And the question emerges, how did it get so chaotic? Because they lost the thought. The creation is now held in bondage, which has its source in Phatheros, from which it will be set free at some future time, but now moving toward entropy. See, the universe, I told you that just a smidgen of disorder is in the universe because of the fall of Adam. Just a smidgen. But we do know that all of this whirling about out there in the universe is in a concept of slowing down. The rotation of the planet is slowing by a fraction of a second. You say, well, what kind of a clock did this? I have no idea. But all over the internet, you can see it for yourself. It's slowing down. What does that mean? Entropy. You say, well, what's entropy? I've got a whole dissertation here on entropy. A whole set. But right here, it says examples of entropy. Okay. That can happen for the universe, okay? Can it happen for you? Can entropy occur in your soul? You say, well, what's entropy? A couple more points and we'll see. This slavery of corruption and decay currently encountered by the universe is the result of a curse imposed by the original physicist, Jesus Christ, in the form of the second law of thermodynamics, which is manifest by the principle of entropy, or Phatheros. It's all math. And you know I know nothing of math. I can't remember numbers, normal numbers. What is your phone number? I used to know that. What's your street address? I don't know whether it's three numbers or two or what. I don't do numbers. But God is the number person. Definitions are important. The second law of thermodynamics, the law of energy decay, states that every system left to its own devices always tends to move from order to disorder, its energy tending to be transformed into lower levels of availability, finally reaching the state of complete randomness and unavailability for further work. Do you know that at the end of the millennial kingdom, Jesus Christ is going to do something with regard to that paragraph? This whole thing we call the universe is going to either implode or explode. I don't know which way it'll go. Some of you math people may know that. So the tendency to move from order to disorder and the tendency of energy to move to lower levels of availability is the principle of entropy. Defined as, quote, the tendency of all matter and energy in the universe to evolve toward a state of inert uniformity. And that comes from the American Heritage Dictionary of the English language. Okay, examples of entropy. Point one. The first law of thermodynamics tells us that everything that exists in space and time is energy, and everything that happens is energy conversion. Energy can be converted from one form into another, but can neither be created nor destroyed. Everything is energy, or ultimately, the lack of it. Secondly, Energy takes two forms, potential called matter and kinetic called energy. 3. Entropy is the principle that matter, which is potential energy, can perform work only by becoming kinetic energy. Potential versus functional. For example, oil, you call it petroleum or gasoline. You got it outside in your cars. When you turn the key or punch the button, you punch buttons now. Used to you turn the key. I've seen people with cars that they can take the little gizmo out of their pocket and punch it a correct number of times, and the car will fire up out in the parking lot. You know? But it's potential. Now it's kinetic. It's ready to go as long as there's gas in the tank. Petroleum as matter is potential energy as it sits in the fuel tank of your car. But when it is burned in the engine, it is converted into heat whose kinetic energy produces the work that moves the automobile forward. This is an experiment that you can conduct when the last amen is said today. Oil is produced over an extremely long period of time. Plant and animal life disintegrate under pressure to form peat, lignite, and finally coal. A bucket of coal is matter that was once the energy which caused an animal or plant to live. What was previously kinetic energy has over time been converted into matter, the potential energy of coal. You need to know that coal is good. It burns. It can become kinetic. And when you crank the car out there, if you don't have one of those battery deals, which you have to plug into somebody's station somewhere, I'm fascinated by the fact that people will buy an electrical car with a big battery. The battery must be as big as this pulpit. I don't know. But it's the little 8x12 that you've got in normal cars, it's got to be bigger than that because it's going to drive the car for as much as like 70 miles. And so you've got these cars which are hybrids, and you can fire it up and use the electrical part, but then when it runs dry after 70 miles, then you have to use the gasoline. Okay, then you have to get the electrical part to work, you have to plug it in somewhere. God help me find a plug. So you plug it in, and guess what's happening there? What is the potential energy behind plugging it in? That would be coal. And then when the coal burns, it creates electricity. And the electricity then can go into your battery for another 70 miles. Good deal? If it weren't for coal, the battery cars couldn't go 6 feet. You have to have the coal. God left coal all over the planet. Why? So you could go 70 miles. What a point am I on, Henry? 7. Okay, let's do that again. When we burn coal, we get kinetic energy that boils the water, that produces the steam, that runs the dynamo, that creates the electricity that runs your homes. Coal. Thank you, Jesus. When you created the universe, you created coal. The process that turns plant animal matter into oil and coal requires a considerable period of time, while it takes only a few hours to burn up a tank of gasoline or a ton of coal. Now, I've got 2 cars, and when I fired up to go down to Alabama, I know exactly how far I can go because I love odometers. And I know exactly, you drive a car long enough, you know how many miles you can go in a tank of gas, going 80 miles an hour most of the time. And so you learn where the gasoline stations are, which have that potential stuff called gasoline under the ground somewhere. And electricity is able to go down there and get the oil, gasoline that's under the ground and pull it up into the hose. And you pull the little trigger and somehow the liquid goes uphill down into the car. And I know where all of these gasoline places are. And I can go as far as I can go to my little place there because I know how many miles it takes to get there. And I have plenty of gas to do it. Do you do these things? Don't want to stop but more than once for a 550-mile trip. Entropy. Matter moves from potential to kinetic until all available energy is equally distributed, at which time all motion will cease and entropic death is complete. Empty tank. Therefore, the environmentals are right. There is indeed a limited amount of natural resources on planet Earth, and left to our own devices at some point out in the unknown future, that supply will be exhausted. Unless, of course, it will last until the end of the millennium when we don't need it anymore. But there is entropy here. But this is not left to our own devices. The entropy problem is a limited one. It began at the fall of Adam and will end at the second advent. In between these two events, the universe is in slavery to corruption or, quote, in bondage to decay, or better, under the curse of entropy. Now, as I look across the congregation today, the people of various ages here, okay, you have to be more than 12 to be in here. So as I look across here, we have people that are in varied ages. I would prophesy that I am the oldest guy in the room. So you've got old and in between and young. How are we all alike? We are slowly but surely dying. Why? Because of entropy. I was talking to Timmy Hunt before we had second session. He told me of a time when he ran a marathon. That means you've run over 26 miles running. I have a son-in-law that's going to run a marathon 2 or 3 months from now, and he's practicing for this. I hope he doesn't die. But he is practicing to run 26 miles. And he seems to be a stable individual. Self-induced misery. And what occurs, I'm about to say the last amen. What occurs during a 26-mile run is called entropy. Because when you cross that finish line 26 miles later, you are wore out. And so it's really a little example of a lifespan. You've worked out. You've done all of the things to do. 3 months of doing this, running up hills, down into the valleys, up the hill, down to the valley. All kinds of things. All kinds of things. Getting ready to run 26 miles. You're in perfect shape. And you get on that start line, and then you start running. When nobody told you, no one held a gun to you, and you said, I am about to run 26 miles. Somebody pulled, and then off you go, running. And 26 miles later, some people just stagger across the finish line. Some people die before getting there. Some people give up before getting there. But some people run 26 miles. And when they do, they have experienced entropy. Your entire life is like that. And how you make choices, the decisions you make, what you decide to do or be, volition is going to decide that, and you are the decision-making machine. And so, although we're built to die, that's entropy. There's a place you can go for information that has no entropy. And that's the power of the Word of God in your soul. It's always there. It's always alive and powerful. It's always available. Father, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity of studying these things today. We thank you for your matchless grace as we lift our prayer of gratitude in the name of Christ our Savior. Karish human kai rene, plethunthae en epinosai, tu theu kai iesu tu kuriu hemon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. We're going to be led and guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Shall we stand as we sing?